Welcome to 10 Bestest,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
Each week we share our 10 favorite things of the moment.
Anything goes. Hello everyone, I'm Brian Hart, and welcome to another episode of 10 Bestest. This is our second part, our first two-parter, but last week I had two special guests on, Allie and Andy from the Notable Nostalgia podcast, and they are back because we didn't get our five cool sheets in, so we're back to finish it up this week. How are you two doing?
We're doing good. It's good to be back on. Really excited.
Yeah.
Right when you said they're back, I was thinking of Mighty Ducks when he goes, "The Quack Attack is back."
Yeah, we need like a motto or a little catchphrase for the second episode.
No, we're excited. Thanks for having us back.
No, it was so much fun, and I'm really glad that we can finish this out and get all of our cool sheets in. If you haven't listened to that episode, make sure you go check that out. You can get all of our show notes on 10bestest.com/90s, and that will get you to both episodes. So we'll have the first 10 or the first, I don't know how many we did, 9, is that right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do 9 more for this episode, and you can find them all on 10bestest.com/90s. 90s because of your guys' podcast, The Notable Nostalgia, is a 90s podcast. Do you guys want to talk about a little bit more about yourself in case people haven't listened to the other show?
Sure, yeah. So Andy and I both know each other from high school. But we approached each other last year and talked about doing a podcast, and 90s nostalgia seemed to be the best connection. And so we just every week talk about a subject that's somehow related to the 90s, whether it's music, movies, TV. Sometimes we have celebrity interviews, but we always try to bring in our unique perspectives. We'll tell you about our experiences growing up that may be different from others, because I'm a trans person and Jeff is gay and he's indigenous people. So, you know, we're trying to bring in our unique spin on everything as well.
Yeah. Like one thing growing up when Pocahontas came out, it was huge, but like, because I'm Native American, my family, half of my family, because I'm half Native American, but we had a whole different perspective of that movie than a lot of people did. So it's just kind of cool, you know, because maybe people didn't even notice, like they didn't even see that, you know, so we try to bring a different perspective.
Yeah, you're things, like, so. Wait a second, actually.
Yeah.
And, this isn't as cool as you think, or this is wrong, and this is,
And a lot's changed in 30 years, and so we're taking that little microscope to it too every now and then.
That's good.
Yeah. A lot of laughs, a lot of fun though.
So. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy your guys' podcast. So I was very excited to have you on. And Allie, I've known you, and we talk more about it on our first episode, but we've known each other longer than that. But then I kind of feel like I knew Andy from the podcast. You know, it's that weird, like you start following people and it's like, oh yeah, you know, you get to know their personalities on the show, and that's really cool. So I'm so glad to have you, well, to meet you, first of all. It's been fun in person, and then to have you on the show and have you guys' perspective on this, because it's Karen and I kind of like the same things, and we just, you know, you have your own interests and you talk about kind of your the things that are in those interests, and you've already given us some really new stuff.
Well, that's why your podcast is so cool too, because like you just some things I never would have thought about. I'm like listening, I'm like, oh wow, yeah, I didn't know Spock had a poetry.
He's a poet. Yeah.
I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I had no
like how is this over my head.
Yeah, and so it's just you listen to things and it catches your interest, and then you know now you're broadening your
absolutely.
This is fun for us too, because you know we've sort of just limited ourselves by, I mean, yes, it's a massive decade, but like, you know, we only keep it 90 subjects on there, so we get to talk about some modern stuff here. So it's cool to be
fun.
Here.
Sure. All right, well, I'm going to go first on this one, and my first cool sheet is a design concept. So this is the Disney's 12 principles of animation. Disney, of course, is kind of the gold standard of animation from way back in the day, and they developed these 12 principles of animation, and me being kind of in the film industry, more corporate video, but still video, and obviously a movie lover and animation, I've actually just started to get into animation, so these kinds of things really interest me. And the 12 principles are, I'll just list them first, and then I'll go into as much detail as I can for each one. So it's squash and stretch, and then anticipation, 3 is staging. 4 is straight ahead action and pose to pose. 5 is follow through and overlapping action. 6 is slow in and slow out. 7 is arc. 8 is secondary action. 9 is timing. 10 is exaggeration. 11 is solid drawing. And 12 is appeal. So this, you know, of course, kind of was refined by Disney and really they led the way. But you can see this in almost any animation. All designers have now kind of used these principles in their animation. And once you know them, it's almost like seeing the Matrix. You're like, oh, you see it all the time. And you know, like, oh, that's anticipation. And that's a little bit of stretch and squash. But it mostly it talks about the design structures of animation and how to make it more realistic in a way, but also much more, you know, like when they talk about exaggeration. So it's unrealistic, but we're so used to it seeing an animation that now that seems like the norm. And if you see stuff that is kind of straight and doesn't, you know, move fluidly, it looks robotic and weird. And it's all kind of based on these principles. That's the 12 Disney's principles of animation. Shoo,
shoo. That's cool. Did they mean to make it sound so sexual, though, too?
I know, right? As I was saying, when I was taking notes and doing it, I didn't think about it. But as soon as I started saying them right in a row, especially. And then there's, of course, all those like hidden, like, you know, sexual innuendos in Disney and, you know, the hidden symbols and things. And you're like, wait a second. Here's even more proof. They're all big pervs.
Right. No, that's super cool. You know, Disney has its issues with, you know, a lot of stuff. Best company probably.
Pocahontas ever. And other things.
Right. And I found out too, while we're doing our podcast, I guess they tried to, the Day of the Dead?
Yeah, they tried to trademark Day of the Dead.
Crazy.
Really?
Right?
Yeah, and it really did a lot of damage with the, you know, the Latin American
community.
Well, yeah.
And
so they had to really do some ground control or some, I don't know the right word, but like had to really do some safe navigation when they made Coco, right? Like, so
yeah.
They involved and how they were going to present this as sort of an apology to the community that deeply offended. So
yeah,
it's a lot of missteps in the company, right? For
but,
sure.
But with all that said, one of my favorite stuff to look up is Disney. Like I love the Imagineers. I love how they do the Disney, the parks, the animation. Like now I got to look that up too, because I've watched so many documentaries about that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't know they had a 12 like step program almost to create.
Right. And then
that's
the
so
fact
cool.
that it's like laid the foundation for almost all animators. And then you can see it like, okay, in your favorite animated TV shows, you know, the fact that they probably took at least some of these, if not all of these principles into effect. And, you know, when you go on our show notes and see that they have actually like videos for each one, because it's really hard to describe on a podcast of these visual images, but it shows each one, what each one looks like and examples of with and without those principles. And it's mind blowing how different it looks.
Do you know when they implemented those principles? Was that like Walt himself, like in the 30s?
I think it was like two of the main and like some of the first animators back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, they changed everything.
So right. Yeah. Wow. It could have evolved. I'm not quite sure if it's like maybe they had six in the beginning or something or how, but I do remember like all the way down to, I think, exaggeration, Walt would say, he would go to the animators and say, make it look more realistic. And then so they would make it look what they thought more realistic. So Mickey Mouse looked more like a mouse. And he's like, that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, look more like what a person would do, you know, and what he meant is actually exaggeration and like these more grandiose movements made it seem like a mouse that was doing human things, you know? And so it was interesting, like his interpretation versus the literal, the way the animators took it and then how they changed it again and refined it. Yeah. It was fascinating for sure.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Did you say that was on, was a documentary? Was it YouTube? I'm sorry. What was that?
Well, it's, If you just put in the 12 Disney's 12 principles of animation, you'll find like all articles, YouTube videos, you know, just GIFs of each one, tons of info. So I don't know if there's one like definite source, but on our show notes, I'll do one of my favorite. I think it's an article with animations of each principle.
Yeah, because I get highlight down rabbit holes all the time. And I know I will be down that rabbit hole.
I love the choice too. Like, you know, I have a Ren and Stimpy tattoo, and I really love animation and its styles. And And Disney's been a revolutionary, even till now. I mean, they revolutionized the digital animation that we see with Pixar now. And so they've been trendsetters for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Not always perfect, for sure.
Yeah.
hopefully they continue to learn from their mistakes. But yeah, definitely they've set the bar for a lot of things. So yeah. Cool.
Cool. That's awesome.
Excellent. Yeah. All righty. Well, my first cool sheet is sort of me nerding out a little bit, and it's a program that you can watch every Wednesday on TNT, and this is All Elite Wrestling, or AEW. So when I was going through your guys' notes, I was excited to see someone recommended the 50 most bizarre wrestling attires and that kind of thing. So I felt good mentioning this one. But what's unique about this program, they're also known as AEW. If you want to like go down the rabbit hole of some of the monstrosities that maybe WWE has occurred, I recommend watching the John Oliver segment on WWE. But what's unique about All Elite Wrestling is that it's co-owned and ran by professional wrestlers themselves. And so they're people who have been through the gauntlet and been through the kind of the worst end of the business. And they decided, you know what, we can do this ourselves and we can do it right. We can take care of our talent, and they do it with a passion, and you can really see it in their program. So it's really dedicated to more of the old style of professional wrestling, like proper storylines and character development. And one thing they do really well too is balancing people who've been in the business for a long time and people who are up and coming. But probably my favorite thing about them is just how inclusive they really are as a company. Something that maybe the big one, WWE, hasn't done as well, but they have openly gay wrestlers. They have a trans woman who has actually held a title, which is a huge accomplishment. And they have openly queer represented characters, or not characters, but wrestlers. And so it's really neat to see all this inclusivity, all this amazing talent, and to get the platform on a national stage. So I think it's well deserved your time if you maybe haven't loved professional wrestling for a long time because of the big box version. And now that's now there's a really great version that fans can really enjoy. So that is All Elite Wrestling. Choo, choo.
Whoa.
Cool.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I do. I've heard of it.
I love it.
Owned by old wrestlers. That makes sense because they know what, you know, works and what doesn't work. That's really
right?
cool.
Right. Yeah. So they have a lot more creative freedom.
Yeah.
And they're backed by Tony Khan, whose dad and him own the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they got their money from them, and he's the main owner. But he's
legit,
like, you guys have the freedom to do what you want.
That's
and make
so
it
cool.
Good. And yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah.
2 days ago, literally, I had a dream, and I'm not. This is so funny they bring this up because I literally had a dream. I was interning for the WCW, but as an adult.
Yeah.
And they looked like they looked. It was the giant Goldberg and Sting, and we're at like this park bench.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for letting me intern. And I was talking to the giant, and I was like, I remember when I was in fourth grade, you had chains on your hands and you broke them apart, and my teacher was going to tell us how that happened, but then we were talking too loud and he didn't. Could you explain that to me? And Sting, like, this is my dream. And then Sting tapped me on the shoulder and he goes, I'll explain it to him, to the giant. And he sat down next to me at the park bench, and,
that's so funny.
Or a picnic table. And and then I woke up, but yeah, that's so weird.
So do you still not know the secret?
I still don't know the secret. But when I woke up, I was like, oh, it's probably bread ties. I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah. Well, funny thing about All Elite Wrestling is Sting and the Giant, or Paul White, is part of their faction now, and is on it.
Oh, nice.
But tons of young talent, and one thing that like WWE does is that they really rely on these old wrestlers, and they come in, and what they'll do is they'll what's in the business called squashing. And so these young wrestlers who build all this momentum, they just get their storylines and their personas just ruined because, well, we're going to let Hulk Hogan have another win, you know? Whereas, like,
right,
this young talent is going against these legends, and maybe they lose the match, but they take them right to the edge and showcase their talents and really highlighting these
it actually
people
helps
who are going to be
them.
The future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it helps them get to the next level instead of just squashing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Gives everybody an opportunity. I like that.
But
it's
a new perspective on a long time business, and
which needed a little shake up for sure.
Yeah.
And I loved wrestling as a kid. And it's funny because I think Karen's done a couple different cool sheets on wrestling.
Yeah.
And I don't even think she was a big wrestling fan. She just found these cool sheets, which I thought was cool. And I've yet to talk about any wrestling, which is kind of crazy.
But you don't even really have to be a fan of like pro wrestling to like it, you know? Because it's drama. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like a form of drag, in my opinion. Yes. Like, you know, it's costumes or, and yeah, storylines.
I used to always call it like kind of a more male-centric soap opera, yep. You know, because it was, you know, more of a sport and kind of, and now it's not, because at least finally they're having a lot more women. And this is amazing that it has all kinds of different representation, which is really cool, because even the big ones, WWE, I can't remember what it is now. WWE, right? Yeah. They're still pretty narrow in their, you know.
They are, and they're kind of secretive about, you know, they've never really had like an openly gay male wrestler. They have an openly gay female wrestler, but
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right.
Mine, going way back again, is so general, but I've had so much fun painting. I've never painted on a canvas before, and I'm 33 and me and my daughters just started painting. And the reason I'm bringing it up right now, because a lot of people I didn't realize haven't painted on a canvas. It's not expensive. You can buy all these little paint containers for 50 cents a piece. Canvases, you can buy them in bulk for like $8 for like 10 of them. And it's super relaxing. And I've been doing it way too much recently. I haven't been playing video games as much because I've been painting, actually. I've been painting pictures on my wall. I've been painting my Dungeons & Dragons characters. I've been painting things that don't need to be painted just because I'm like, oh, this might look cool if it was black. But the amount of fun I'm actually having from it and how relaxing it is, I've never once ever thought about painting a picture. And then I started and I can't stop. I have so many paintings in my house right now to where my girlfriend's getting mad because she's like, we're just going to have to throw these all away. I'm like, no, you're not. Where else are you going to get a bear with a crazy lightning bolt background, you know, from Andy? But no, it's super relaxing. And I have two daughters, 12 and 13. And, you know, we watch TV and stuff. But it's fun. We just have relaxation music on the background. They're painting, I'm painting. And we're just talking. So overall, it's just a good family experience. We do this thing to where we cut a sheet of paper into threes, and we try to do a monster. So I, you know, one time I'll get the top half, someone else gets the middle, and then someone else gets the bottom, and we can't look at the other people's drawings. So we always make these crazy monsters, and then we paint it, and it's like a three-piece canvas painting, and it's inexpensive, it's a lot of fun, and I think everybody should try to paint at least one picture in their life. Pew, pew!
That's so great. Whoa! Yeah. Painting. I mean, such a like broad idea, but so cool, though, too.
As in, you know, in school, I've done like finger paintings on like paper and everything, but I've never had like a, what's an easel? Is that what it's called, where you put all the paint on your hand?
Oh, well, yeah. What is that called? Palette. I think maybe a painter's palette or something.
Yeah. Or like if you walk into like a Michael's, or if you go the next step in like an art supply store, it's so intimidating.
Sure.
And you're like, how? I don't know. I can't afford this. So therefore, I can't do this. But we've had people on our podcast who are like professionals. And, you know, and like everyone we ask, like, hey, what's your advice for getting into this business? And every answer we've always gotten is just do it. Mm-hmm. Just go and do it. And so that's really cool that like you've gotten past that barrier and now you love it. And,
yeah.
Now you can't stop, which is very cool. Yeah. I love that idea of the monster, the head, the middle, and the feet.
Some
funny pictures. I bet.
There's such weird stuff, and it's just, it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it.
Nice. Oh, man, that's really cool. That does make me want to paint. It worked, because now I want to go paint. I haven't painted since I was young, so that's really cool.
Nice.
It's very cool. All right. My next cool sheet is an animation artist. So I talked about these animation principles. Like I said, I'm kind of into animation right now. And this person, his name is Sam Cotton. And he is just one of my favorite animators right now. His little description is, "Good day, my name is Sam Cotton, and these are my animates." So I believe he's from either UK or Australia or somewhere like that, you know, so animates, play on words. But what I love about his style is it's pretty lo-fi. Like he has these kind of almost stick figures, but he makes everyday objects come alive all of the time. So that's his thing. So I actually discovered him on TikTok, of all places, but he also has an Instagram. So if you're not on TikTok, you can check out Instagram, either one. And he, so it usually kind of the camera pans over and he's like, oh, hey. And it'll be like these grapes, these all grapes hanging out, and they have like little mustaches and eyeballs and arms hanging out, little stick arms. And they're like, oh, hey, mate, what you doing there, buddy? And then they're like, oh, no, what are you doing? No, don't grab me. And it's like, no, wait, my friends, you know. And he's like, sorry, mate, I'm hungry. And then he does these like little interactions. And his imagination is just, it's one of those that is so inspiring, you know. Of us, like, how does he think about it? And then as soon as you see it, you're like, ah, why didn't I think about that? That's so brilliant. And it's not only, like, sometimes it's larger than life. So he's just out in the city and he's like, hey, what are you doing there? And it's like this gigantic 200-foot guy, and he's fishing in the ocean or in a bay, and he's like, oh man, just you know, just doing a little fishing here. And he's like, you know, and he has this argument with this worm, this animated worm on his hook, and it's just brilliant, everything that he does. I haven't seen one that hasn't cracked me up or inspired me, usually both. Check out Sam Cotton.
Nice. I love it so much. I was Googling him while you were talking about
it.
And like, I know, like, I've seen him in my Facebook feed.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
These videos of, like, because these everyday objects, they have arms and legs.
Yes.
And they talk, and like, it's so cool, and it's so relaxing too.
Yeah, yeah.
To watch it. But yeah, and I just love, like, there's so many independent animators and artists that do have their own niche.
Right.
I think of this one guy who has a thing called Butts on Things, and so he'll draw butts, like, really cute, like, you know, but his name's Brian Cook, and he does Butts on Things, and so it's like a taco with a butt, like, from the
That's
behind.
Awesome.
It's super, but it's like one little niche thing that I do, and people love it. And,
yeah,
and he does an amazing job. It's,
yeah,
so cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, this guy's looking at pictures too. That is, it makes everything look just happy. That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
And like something that seems simple, you know, like,
yeah,
like you mentioned, they're kind of stick figure-y, but
right,
it does take a lot of imagination to,
oh,
be like,
yeah, so
to look at an object and bring it to life.
Yeah, like, right? How would this object, you know, react to my world, you know, and how, what would I say? What would our conversation be like? To me, like, that alone is just like, whoa, brilliant, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so cool, because it's always very related to what that thing might be thinking, even though bananas don't have thoughts and flowers and things, but it's just, it's so cool. And it's just, it always puts me in a good mood for sure.
How is that not like a series too? Like, how, yeah, does somebody not approach him and be like,
right, it should,
let's
be,
do this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, look it up. That's awesome.
Nice. I love that choice.
Cool. Allie.
Well, yeah. So my next cool sheet is a publication in journalism, I guess, comic strip. And they're called The Nib, spelled N-I-B. They focus on political satire and journalism, but it's all done in comic form. And so, like, comic strips, they're all done by individual artists. They don't have like a staff, or, you know, they have people that they have reoccurring, but like, you're not getting the same thing every single time. And they also focus on marginalized voices and people. So there might be a portion on immigration, and maybe a person from Latin American descent is the person doing the comic, or maybe somebody who's experienced immigration firsthand. They draw these experiences. Sometimes they're really funny, and sometimes they're really heartbreaking, and that's just how life is. And so they, you can just go to thenib.com, and you can read some. You can become a member and get daily emails and get new comics. They have a really great social media presence, so if you find them on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, you can see some of these comics. And they always link the artists. And so then you have a link to these amazing people who are passionate about issues themselves and about politics, but are also really talented artists and are sometimes comedians and very funny. But one of the cool things they really do is they release publications. And so you can buy an entire publication on a subject. And so they do, there's an immigration one, there's one on trans and queer identities, and then there's also just generic ones that, like, on just the subject of death. And so I just really recommend going to thenib.com and exploring all the cool things that they have to offer.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I will definitely check that one out, because it sounds like a lot of things that I either want to know more about or interest me already. So
yeah, and a lot of times it's like, maybe it's like just a generic enough issue that maybe you don't know the background of it, but it,
right,
explains it really well in a,
yeah,
comic form. And then you can share that to folks and be like, hey, this is a really great information, informative graphic. Or if it's funny, like it gets people thinking about the issues. But I just love too that they always link the artists. And so you get to go explore their work.
Yeah.
You know, and they do stuff that's not political. And then they're doing amazing art and you got more art in your life. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't want that?
I just went to the website while you're looking. The page alone already has five or six things that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. It's a system that once banned the slam dunk from college basketball because it gave certain players an advantage over others. I didn't know that. And just because I went to the website, now I'm going to look that up. So that's really cool. And I do think it's really important. Comedy, I think comedy is super important because I think when someone might be too afraid to talk about a certain subject, if they kind of make it a little funny, make it, you know, it doesn't seem so scary anymore. So the fact that they're writing little comics, making them funny about horrible situations, I think is super important. So yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I feel like I might get some more cool sheets from that website.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It sounds
yeah.
like a lot of, like but, this, I better not tell Karen about this one. Hopefully she just listens. Yeah. It's like, ooh, I'm going to have some in my great. Pocket now already.
But yeah, but like we talked about in the last episode, I highlighted a trans journalist. So, you know, it's just another way that you're getting these perspectives from these people who are experiencing it.
Yeah.
It's not somebody who doesn't experience it writing it. From, you know, so it's good to get those perspectives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah.
All right, Andy.
So I am super excited for this one because last year I wasn't able to go because of COVID. But Rose City Comic Con 2021. Yeah. I've been going to Comic Con for years. I go once or twice a year. And Rose City Comic Con is my favorite one. I'm from Oregon. So this is like the main one in Portland. Where they're like affiliated with San Diego Comic-Con, because some people can't use Comic-Con. WizardCon, they can't, but this one can, and they're affiliated with the San Diego. And I would go insane if I go to San Diego. But anyways, the reason I'm so excited for this one is because they've already started releasing guest names. George Takei from Star Trek's going to be there. I haven't met him, so I'm really excited. And some of the most fun I've ever had, I go to concerts all the time. I do a lot of fun stuff, but Comic-Cons are... It's weird. When you get there, like, everybody seems kind of nervous, and everybody kind of seems like they have that kind of antisocial thing, but in a nice way. So you just kind of feel like you're among people there, you know? Anything you're into, comics, movies, music, D&D, magic, old video games, there's just something for everybody. Whether you call yourself a nerd or not, you're going to find something that interests you there. One of my favorite things is one of the rooms gets rented out, and they have old video game consoles, like, but not super old. Well, they have those too, but like the Dreamcast. And I haven't played a Dreamcast game for like 15 years, 20 years. So it's just a lot of fun. I've met some of my favorite people. I've met Nichelle Nichols there. When I met her, I planned to say all this stuff like, thank you for everything you've done for, you know, women's rights and people of color rights. And I got so nervous and so shocked when I met her. I just went, you look absolutely stunning. And that was it. And then she goes, oh, thank you, sweetie. And she tapped my hand twice. And then I got my picture and walked away like a fool. But it was one of the best experiences of my life. I've met a lot of people there and you learn a lot. They have these panels where you can listen to the celebrities talk. They have panels about, you know, the science behind a certain video game on why this would work. And it's just, it's coming back this year. And if you haven't been to Comic-Con, it's worth going, and you can actually work the Comic-Con and you don't have to pay for a ticket. As long as you work a total of 8 hours in the 3 days, you get free weekend passes. So everybody should check it out. Pew pew.
Yes, there it is. That is so cool. Very cool. When is that happening?
Oh, it's September.
September.
It's always the first or second week of September.
Okay. And I was going to ask, you've never been to the San Diego one?
No.
No.
Yeah, I guess it's like impossible unless you know someone in the industry.
Is that right? Yeah. And I have friends that just live in San Diego and they've been going forever. But even they're like, anymore, you're waiting like, you know, overnight to go to the like Hall H or whatever. Yeah. It's like, it's not even worth it. You can see all the trailers and some of the full show online later, you know? So
I don't know. I love it.
But this is cool. I've never been to kind of con at all. And I've wanted to go for so long. So maybe I should go to this one and check it out.
It's going
to
be a blast. I'll be there all 3 days. I remember the first time I went, I was looking, not the first time, maybe 2 years ago. I've been a few times. But I was just looking through comics and I look over to the right of me and I see this huge bicep and I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're Jason Momoa. And he's like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, dude, you're awesome. And he goes, thanks. And he looks exactly like you pictured him to look. And he had like this big top hat thing on. And I was like, he's like, thanks. And then he walked by, but he was looking through comics too. And I was like, that's crazy. He has bodyguards.
Yeah.
Why would he really have a bodyguard? Like,
yeah. Yeah, right?
People are smaller than him, I presume.
Yeah, you can just like throw someone. But it's cool.
Yeah, I've only been to one Comic Con, and I've always wanted to go to one. And the Rose City one was the one I went to.
Nice.
When I went, and I had the best time. It was so cool. Mm-hmm. Everyone was so nice and friendly. Like, I wasn't necessarily trans identified then, so I got to experience, like, I dressed up as a female character, and everyone was so cool. And they're just like, your costume looks amazing. Yeah. Great job. And like, it was so welcoming.
Yeah.
But on top of that, like, there's so many cool vendors. So if you want to buy some cool stuff, or like so many independent artists, mm-hmm. too. So people whose art I've never been exposed to, I get to meet the artists, I get to look at their stuff. And I get to support them right there if I want to buy it. So it's really neat.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, my kids love it too. Last time I went, they had this whole animation thing for kids where every kid got color, and there's a professional artist, and they're drawing planes. And of course, I took it too. Mine looked horrible, but it was still so much fun. Like, I think, everybody should go. Rose City Comic Con.
Yeah. Heck yeah. No, I definitely, I need to go to that, because it's the same thing. I've been wanting to go to a con for so long. And the Jason Momoa, that's funny. So my friend of mine one time, she lives in LA, and she was a PA for a movie. I don't remember which movie, but she was basically Jason's Momoa's handler that day. So she followed him around, and the film set in reality is pretty boring. Like, even though he was one of the main stars of the movie, he wasn't filming that day that much. So he was just like, "Hey, do you want to go off set? And I want to go talk to my buddy Zach." And she's like, kind of radio, like, "Can I do that?" And they're like, "Yeah, whatever, you know, it's Jason, like, yeah, just bring him back when we say." He's like, "All right." So they went to like a different lot, and then they saw Zack Snyder. So that's who's buddy Zack. And they're like, "Oh, hey, you know."
That's crazy.
Yeah, they're
awesome.
Like talking to Zack, and she's just like outside kind of waiting, because she's trying not to be like the total fan.
Right.
Like,
it's like my buddy Tom. Oh, Tom Hanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you said Zack, for some reason in my head, I was like, Efron? Like,
maybe
they hang out. They're both ripped. I don't know. They just work out all day.
But yeah, no, just Zack Snyder, you know, because it was a little bit after Justice League, and you know, they were chatting, and then all of a sudden, you know, she gets the radio like, "Okay, we need Jason, and you know, on set in 20 minutes or whatever." So she had to like knock on the door, like That's interrupt cool. them from their like chat. She's like, "Jason, sorry, we have to." He's like, "Oh man, no problem. Yeah, let's go." You know, she said he was super awesome. So that's always cool when you meet these celebrities and they're actually cool, which is very neat, because that doesn't always happen. And I love your story too about meeting one of your favorite people. Because,
oh yeah, Nichelle Nichols, Uhura, yeah.
Yeah.
You look absolutely stunning.
Right.
Thank you.
She's really
just, it totally happens though, because I mean, I was like really excited to meet this one artist, and I'm just like, you get there and then you just kind of feel like awkward,
and you freeze up,
do they like this? Or like,
what's the right thing to say where I don't sound like a dork? Up, too late. Now I do even more like it.
I think Will Wheaton might have been the nicest person I ever met. My daughter loves Big Bang Theory. It's, you know, it's not my cup of tea. It's okay. But he has tattoos in real life. He has all these punk tattoos.
Whoa.
He has like Black Flag tattoos and stuff, which I had no idea. And then she goes, "Oh, you don't have tattoos in Big Bang Theory." And she was like 11 at the time, 10. I don't know, right around there. And he genuinely cared. And he like, he was looking her in their eyes, and he was explaining what they do to hide those tattoos. And he talked to her for like two or 3 minutes. And he was really nice. And so, yeah, it is cool when you meet a celebrity. That's like awesome. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you just, you never know. And then, you know, they say sometimes don't meet your heroes or whatever they say, you know, cause they can kind of disappoint you. And I've been pretty lucky. I've volunteered for the Sundance Film Festival. So that's the same idea where I get to see all the movies I want, the festival for free, because I'm a full-time volunteer. And I've done that, gosh, I think it was 18 or 19 years now. Of course, we didn't. They had online only this year, but I plan to go back next year. And yeah, so I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of, you know, celebrity actors. And yeah, I remember in the beginning, I could barely muster anything. And then it's like weird. Once you've done it so long, it's like the opposite, where you just, I've had celebrities, you know, and I just start talking. I'm like, "Oh, hey, how you doing? You know, welcome to our theater, you know," and I'm super nice and like, "Oh yeah, you know, just wait here. And oh, do you have a ticket? I know it's your film, but still need a ticket." I know that's weird, but do you?
Yeah.
You know, and I have these kind of conversations. And then sometimes, and then they'll come back out. Maybe they'll have a smoke or they're waiting for friends or whatever. And I've actually had celebrities introduce themselves to me, like, oh, hi, I'm, you know, Dana Delaney. And I'm like, well, yeah, I know.
You know? That's actually Henry Winkler.
Oh, really?
He walked up to me while I was waiting to meet Nichelle Nichols.
Oh,
and
funny.
He goes, hey, my name's Henry. What's yours? And I was like, oh, I'm Andy. And he goes, oh, nice to meet you. And he shook my hand.
Whoa, like, that's so cool.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I wonder if our podcast is going to help you with those nervouses. Because, I mean, we've had, like, I don't know, 8 people that we admire on and, like, talk to. And
yeah, I don't know. I still get so nervous
before them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one of our friends on to talk about sports. And not, I was still nervous about that for some reason. I don't know. I'm just a nervous person.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Now I really want to go. I've got to go to the con. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool.
Christina Ricci signed on too. I forgot to say that. So it's George Takei and Christina Ricci. More to come. They're going to have a bunch.
Pretty dang good so far already.
Right, exactly. Going. So I'm super pumped.
That's great. Cool. All right. Well, my next cool sheet is going to be an article. And this article is titled 7 Types of Rest That Every Person Needs. And it's by TED.com. It's their ideas blog. And I actually, in episode 172, I kind of talked about something similar. It was an infographic called Types of Self-Care. And a lot of these kind of coincide, but it was different enough that I felt like I wanted to highlight it again. And then if you've heard this podcast before, you know, I'm into a lot of mindfulness and things like this. So, of course, this really interests me because when you think about rest, you kind of think of maybe one or two things, like mental rest and physical rest. You know, maybe that's it, which number one is physical rest. And then number two is mental rest. But there's these other rests that when I looked at it in a different way and giving that different kind of rest, more attention, I thought was really interesting. And, you know, maybe you need a certain kind and this could really help. So the other ones that they talk about, number 3 is sensory rest. 4 is creative rest. 5 is emotional rest. 6 is social rest, and then 7 is spiritual rest. So just by saying them, then you kind of start to get that idea of, oh, it was just really interesting to me how they categorize different kinds of rest that you might need at different times in your life or where you're at and how that can help you. And this article, of course, goes very deep into each one and what you can do to get rest. Maybe, you know, is it the social rest? You know, that can be maybe unplugging from, you know, social media, but it all goes to being just a little alone time, you know, a little me time or whatever. You know, maybe your social engagements are a little overwhelming and taking a day to yourself. So I highly suggest kind of going through this article, checking in, seeing where you're at and seeing if you need some help. This might be able to give you some of that. It's 7 types of rest that every person needs.
Wow.
That's cool. You're right. I only think about physical and mental rest. Yeah, I never even thought of it. But like sometimes when I'm thinking about like maybe I'll take a break from social media, I'm like, oh, mental rest. I don't even think that that's its own separate category, but it is.
Yeah, when you really start to define, you know, the different ones, then you can really pinpoint where you're being bothered and what you maybe need a break from. Yeah, it was really interesting to me to look at it in that different way.
Yeah, that's really important too. And for me, I'm really bad at like advocating for myself.
Yeah.
And so like if I can define it, then maybe that helps me. Like, you know, I work in the restaurant industry and so I'm constantly around people and socializing. And for me to be like, I need social rest. You know, I need a day off from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that helps people advocate for like what they need. Because it's hard to be intuitive and it's hard to tell yourself that you deserve something too. And so, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. And especially, yeah, that industry, you know, I'm thinking of a whole bunch of different ones, you know, emotional, social, sensory for sure. I mean, all of those kinds of things. Yeah. And then it can tell you, oh, you know, if you can kind of feel one more than the other and take a break and then explore something else that would help you get rest from one area, but still stay creative, still stay, you know, interested in something else. You're not just like, you know, laying on the couch, you know, vegging out, which sometimes is great too, of course. But yeah,
And now that you brought that up, too, I think why I enjoy painting so much is because sensory rest. Because when I'm at work, I have three computer screens in front of me. And most of the time, I'll have my phone on, like, I don't know, watching The Simpsons or... because I work really hard. Or like listening to music or something. So I have so much constant...
you're on the phone all the time.
Yeah, I'm just always talking. So maybe that's... Yeah, that's crazy.
Huh. Yeah.
That's cool. I'm very glad cool. I'm here right now. Like, that's really awesome.
Sweet. All right. Allie.
Cool. Well, my last cool sheet is a podcast recommendation. And it's called Dr. Game Show. And it's hosted by two comedians, Joanne Firestone and Manolo Moreno. And it's on the Maximum Fun podcast network. They do a ton of really great comedy podcasts. But what they do is they call themselves a family-friendly game show podcast. But where they get their games from is from their listeners. And so listeners will submit ideas for games, and they'll just play them with a bunch of other listeners on Zoom. And so it's the two hosts, and there's usually like six other people who will chime in and play. And so like an example of a listener submitted game was called Bigfoot Festival. And so Manolo is a Bigfoot and the listener's given a hobby that they do. And then they have to describe how they're going to capture the Bigfoot. And so Joanne's like, okay, listener, you make figurines out of Q-tips. How are you going to capture the Bigfoot? And so then they'll have to come off the spot, off the top of their head. They'll think of these ideas. And then, like, you know, the Manolo says, oh, you caught me. And then they win a prize. And so, but it's really cool because they have kids on and they play along. And that's really, like, endearing and cute. But it's just also really chaotic. And so it just creates, as a result, comedy. It's such an enjoyable podcast. It's they're usually kind of long. They're like an hour and a half. But, like, it doesn't feel like it because you're having the best time listening to all these things. And people are so creative and fun. And the other thing they do is... the theme song is always played by a listener. And so they're like, okay, what instrument do you have today? And they're like one person plays a kazoo and the next person's playing like their piano. And it's just a wild ride. And I hope folks go listen to Dr. Game Show.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
Yeah, that's a cool
I've
premise.
Never heard of this, but this sounds so fun.
Yeah,
I feel like I would love it. For sure. Like,
yeah,
I cannot
my wife
wait.
Was listening to it, and she's like, you have to listen to this. Like, it's the weirdest concept. it takes a second to get into it, but once you know what's going on, like, we listen to it together every time and just have the best time listening to it.
Oh, my God.
Is it weekly, every other week?
They try to do weekly, but, you know, sometimes it's every other week or something.
Yeah.
And so with the games, are they made up? Like, hey, family made it up, or can they be like other games, too?
Sometimes they're like, you know, this is a regional game that we play in Minnesota.
Oh, like, okay.
That's cool.
This is how we do it. But most of the time, it's just people make up their own obscure, you know, like Bigfoot Festival.
Yeah.
You know? And
right.
And then, I forgot to mention it, but every week, everyone votes on their favorite game. And so the next week, they at least play that game again.
Oh, cool.
And every week, it's like, it's a competition to see who the favorite game was this week. And so.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really neat.
That is such a cool idea.
It is.
And just even having the guest do the theme song. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, they're like, can you play the song for us? And like Manolo will usually sing it with them. And
that
like,
is so cool. What a great idea.
Yeah. And like, I can't describe why you'll like the host, but the two hosts are just so funny. But they're funny in their own unique way. Like, you'll just
do they have
love.
PhDs?
I don't think so.
You lost me.
No way am I tuning in. Please go give it a shot because it's well worth your time.
That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's a good thing to remind everybody that you can check out our show notes so you can get links to all of these cool sheets that we're sharing on tembestus.com/90s. So for both of these episodes, because this is a two-parter, be sure you go check that out. But it's 10bestus.com/90s. All right, Andy, why don't you take us home here?
Ooh, the pressure. So I chose my favorite band of all time, Cheap Trick. And the main reason I'm choosing them is they have their 20th CD. It just came out. So go pick it up. Listen on Spotify, Target, or anything like that. But I feel like a lot of people don't realize how important Cheap Trick really is. And with their new CD just coming out, I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. So, you know, they started in 74, 73-ish. I think the lead singer came in 74, so that's when I say they started, but 73 with the old lead singer, not important. But anyways, I like to think of them as a musician's favorite band, because in the Kurt Cobain diary, he wrote that he wanted Nirvana to sound like Cheap Trick with more distortion. Billy Corgan has been quoted saying that if it wasn't for Cheap Trick, he's not sure if he would be playing music. Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, it's one of his favorite bands. He's actually in a band with Rick Nielsen, the guitarist of Cheap Trick. They've just played with like Queen. They played with AC/DC. They played with so many big bands. And even the guitarist says, he goes, I feel like we're like a lot of people's like fifth or sixth favorite band. He goes, that's cool. You know, but they're innovative. The bassist, he invented the 12-string bass to get the sound they wanted. They're the ones who made Budokan blow up. It's like their very first big hit. They've had 20 CDs now, and they're still touring with the same people, minus the drummer. About 10 years ago, he started getting back issues. So the guitarist's son is now the drummer. They've been playing 150 to 250 shows every year since like 77. They've played more than any other band. They just got inducted at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few years ago. And they're just a really good rock and roll band. I just think everybody should go check them out. And, you know, they tour all the time. They're going on tour with Rod Stewart. Not a big fan, but, you know, whatever. They just toured with ZZ Top. They tour by themselves, and they say they'll play anywhere. As long as people see them, they'll play anywhere. So, you know, they're getting up there in the years. So if you do have a chance to see Cheap Trick, I think you should. It's one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life, hands down. So Cheap Trick, rock and roll, pew, pew.
Nice.
Man. You said you've seen him 26 times, is that right?
25
times.
25.
I think I've seen my favorite band maybe 9 times. Like, you know, like that's some serious dedication. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's really cool. I didn't know that about the bassist. It's weird to think that they've been around that long and still just killing it.
Still killing it and still kind of underrated, especially when you talk about how many people they've influenced and things like that. That's so interesting.
An article just came out, too, that John Lennon said he wished he would have had Rick Nielsen play guitar on Cold Turkey instead of Eric Clapton.
Whoa.
Right? And that's huge. You know?
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the last time I saw them, we went before, and I'm just hanging out with a bunch of people, and some lady that works for the wherever we saw him, she goes, hey, who's the VIP people here? And people start putting their wrist up. So I just walk up, I put my wrist in there, and I get a meet and greet bracelet.
Whoa, nice.
And I have a picture. And I just went back with everybody.
Nice.
And I have a picture of me meeting, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And then like Rick Nielsen tried to give me a guitar pick, but I thought he went to shake my hand, so I got really confused.
Nice.
It was awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. And their music's still good. It's still just good rock and roll, messy music. I love it.
For like folks who don't know them, what's like their most mainstream song?
Oh, yes. Everybody's probably heard I Want You to Want Me. They also did the theme song for that 70s show, The Hanging Out. They did that
one.
Oh,
cool.
They also did the theme song for Colbert Report, which is crazy.
Oh, whoa. Really?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I just started singing that in my head.
Yeah. And I've seen the lead singer of Everclear go on stage with them, and I've seen people with Pearl Jam. It's just so every time you just see their smiles, like, these are my rock gods. Like, you know, I can't believe I'm up, you know.
So
on stage
cool.
with them, so, and they're really fun, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's important too. Like, if there's a band that you really dedicated to and you really love, you should definitely listen to their influences.
Yeah. And absolutely.
You know, Cheap Trick's probably the root of so many bands that you probably love and don't know it.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you both for being on here
for
this two-parter. This is so cool. Why don't you tell everybody if they want to learn more about you, your podcast, where would they go?
Okay. More about me. I mentioned on the last episode The Adventures of Pete and Pete and that album, but I take that to another level, and I do some fan art on my own Instagram page. So it's under Instagram.com @Krebstar_Industries, which is the fictional company in the series that makes every single product that's featured on the show. So I'm trying to like catalog every product they've ever mentioned on the series as sort of its own thing. And then if you can't get on Instagram, you can just find everything that I'm doing at BigDoorPrize.com. But as far as the podcast goes, you can find us at BigDoorPrize.com. We're on Apple, Spotify. If you don't have any podcast platforms, you can just go to Anchor.fm, and it streams for free there, which is really cool. And then we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. probably just tell you in the show notes. You can find us there because we all have different handles for each one. But
yeah,
we try to stay really active on our Facebook and Instagram and our Twitter. With we do every week a new meme, a 90s theme meme. So
yeah,
we have 90s meme Monday. We've done giveaways. We've done trivia nights. We do watch parties, so you can watch some 90s nostalgia with us. And our friends and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
that's
you
some
guys
really funny memes.
Yeah, you guys crush social media for sure. I'm always like, so, oh man, I need to step it up.
This
Notables
blew our
now
mind.
Just
so we had a meme that we did spur of the moment. Didn't even think like it would do anything, and it reached 2 million people.
Whoa!
It blew out. We're like, are you serious?
Like, like doubled our followers on Facebook. So. Yeah,
that is so
it's
cool.
Insane. Yeah, but we're having a really great time doing this together. The three of us were. We're good friends, but we didn't really hang out. And this has really like increased, you know, our level of friendship. And it's like we really like we feel like a family now, and like we're having an amazing time. So
that's so cool.
Notable Nostalgia is the podcast name.
Yes.
Well, I'm Andy. I'm like I said in the very first episode. I don't know how you say this. I'm 1/3 host. I don't. There's probably a better, more elegant way to say it. I'm 1/3 of the host. Anyways, yeah. Facebook.com, Notable Nostalgia, all that stuff. One thing that I do that isn't podcast is I have a Facebook group called Gamers That Drink. I'm still
nice.
Working it. It's fun. You know, I'm trying to, you know, some ideas. So if you want to, you know, drink some adult beverages and play some video games, maybe we could play Red Dead Redemption
there you go.
Online together and we could do that. But no,
start
it's a lot of fun.
Your own gang or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So I like to try to think of community events where, you know, maybe like Call of Duty and everybody drinks and, you know, if you die, you have to take a drink or something. I don't know. Some things like that. But
nice.
That's one thing that I'm doing other than Notable Nostalgia. But definitely check out Notable Nostalgia first.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's true. And again, we will have that all the show notes, 10bestest.com/90s. That's 10bestest.com/90s. So check that out. Check out their podcast. Thanks again so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for
having
us.
Thanks for having us. This is a blast. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
very
we'd
cool.
love to be back. And we'd love to have you on our podcast, you and Karen, if
oh,
you want to
cool.
come talk
yeah,
any 90s
cool.
subject. But also, we want to sincerely thank you for mentioning us as a cool sheet a little
oh,
while
yeah,
back. And
yeah.
We really appreciate that. So.
Yeah, no. And it's bona fide cool sheet. It wasn't just because I knew you.
Right.
I think I talked about this on the show. I mean, it's a really good podcast. If you like the 90s, you'll love your guys' podcast for sure. So, thanks everybody for listening and stay curious.
Want to learn more about this week's cool sheets?
Head on over to 10bestest, that's 10bestest.com for links to all of our cool sheets.
And sign up for our monthly newsletter with bonus cool sheets and other fun stuff.
10bestest will be back with an all new episode next Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.